Nehemiah chapter 4. We got the first six verses last week. We're going to get the next remaining from 7 on down. Nehemiah chapter 4. Have you ever been talking to somebody and just kind of venting, sharing your struggles, things that you're wrestling with, kind of pouring your heart out to them, and you weren't necessarily paying attention to them while you were doing it, and then all of a sudden you looked up and you saw this glassy look on their face, and they're kind of staring off in space, and all of a sudden you say, "Did you hear me?" And they go, "Wait, huh? What were you saying?" Have you ever had that before? It's just, you needed someone to be there for you, to support you, and all you got was they were distracted. They just had other things going on. Have you ever been a person that somebody's pouring their heart out to you, and you just, your mind was elsewhere, and you just weren't there, and they noticed it, and they mentioned it, and it's because you were distracted. You know, you had other things on your mind. You just have your own struggles that you're dealing with. They ever had somebody say something, and it just triggered an idea in you, something that you're struggling with, and your mind just goes there, and it's just distracted, okay? And we live in a world today that's filled with distractions. It's very difficult to get focused on doing the important things, doing the things that we want to be doing, because we have this device that makes all kinds of sounds to draw our attention. We have our TVs and computers. We have a lot of people around us. We just have a lot of happenings and things that are going on a constant, all kinds of things to worry about, right? Don't we have a bunch of things to worry about? Ever feel like some people feel like that's their job, is I just got a lot of things to worry about. I'm busy. I just got this list of things that I have to worry about right now. And we just got a lot of stuff to distract us. And then, do you ever just go through the day and you realize, I really wanted to get this thing done, and I just now remembered going to bed, and I just now remembered that I didn't get that thing done. And we want to, don't we? We want to be the husband, wife that God's called us to be, that our spouse needs us to be. We want to be the parent, child, son, daughter, employee. We want to be the kind of Christian that God has called us to be, the kind of servant within the body of Christ that God has called us to be, to do all those things. But we just got a lot of things to do, don't we? We're busy. We got a lot of things to take care of, a lot of things vying for our attention. You know, or we got other people in our lives that need us to do things for them, right? Anybody tend to be running around solving other people's problems? I just got a lot of people in my life that I got to take care of. I got to deal with their things, and they're relying on me, and so I can't do this stuff because I got all these other people that I'm supposed to take care of. Or I'm just tired. Do you ever just say no to things because you just feel tired? I just feel I'm exhausted. I've been doing stuff all day. I don't want to do anything else. Or ever just have health issues surface, and you're just, I'm just in too much pain. You know, I'm just too uncomfortable. Or I just, this leg of mine just doesn't move the way that I want it to. This back of mine just can't pick things up. And so I want to, but I just can't. I have different reasons why I can't. And we just have problems that just keep surfacing all the time, don't we? Just problems just keep showing up. We want to take care of things, but just all these problems or distractions that happen. And in our household, there seems to be this unwritten rule that Heather is not allowed to talk. She starts to talk, and she starts to, you know, at school today, well, oh yeah, hey Faith, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, you know what, I really, and then, oh, Daquan, blah, blah. And it's just, whenever she opens her mouth, it's like, that's the cue for everybody to start talking. And at some point, Heather just goes, I'm just not going to say anything. She just gives up, because there's so many interruptions, why even try? Do you ever feel like life's like that for you? You want to do the important things. You want to take care. You want to do God's things. But there's just so much stuff, so many distractions, so many interruptions, so many problems. How can we ever focus on doing the things that God has called us to do? Don't worry. She's just excited about what's coming next. So Nehemiah is going to help us as we've been, have you been enjoying walking with him? I don't know if you've been enjoying, I've been enjoying following Nehemiah because he's got his act together. He's getting things taken care of, and I want to learn how to get things taken care of. And he's demonstrating that for us, and so we're going to follow him again, Nehemiah 4, beginning at verse 7. Nehemiah 4, beginning at verse 7. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward and that the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were very angry, and they plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. And we prayed to our God and set a guard as protection against them day and night. Verse 10. In Judah, it was said, the strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There is too much rubble. By ourselves, we will not be able to rebuild the wall. And our enemies said, they will not know or see till we come among them and kill them and stop the work. At that time, the Jews who lived near them came from all directions and said to us 10 times, you must return to us. So in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall and open places, I stationed the people by their clans with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Moving to verse 15 in a moment. I've mentioned often I love reading biographies, and one of the things I love about biographies, and usually if it's a biography, it's someone who's accomplished something. And all of them share something in common, and that is all of them have failed, struggled, wanted to give up, faced all kinds of obstacles to get to where they got. And we tend to look at successful people or people who accomplished anything, and we tend to think, well, it must just be easy for them. And that's not the truth. And Nehemiah, we could look at Nehemiah and say, well, he just built the wall. It must be easy for him. No, he's got a load of problems that keep showing up. But he deals with it and keeps moving on. He will not let anything sway him from building. He heard that it was known to his purpose. So then verse 15, when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. From that day on, half of my servants worked on construction and half held the spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. And the leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other. And each of the builders had his sword strapped at his side while he built. The man who sounded the trumpet was beside me, and I said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the peoples, the work is great and widely spread, and we are separated on the wall, far from one another. In the place where you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. So we labored at the work, and half of them held the spears from the break of dawn until the stars came out. I also said to the people at that time, let every man and his servant pass the night within Jerusalem, that they may be on guard for us by night and may labor by day, so neither I nor my brothers nor my servants nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us took off our clothes. Each kept his work, his weapon at his right hand. So we got distractions to deal with. And how do we deal with those distractions and get the things done that we need to get done? And I remind you, as we're reading through Old Testament, historical though they may be, Old Testament stories, there's a right way to interpret them, and that is to not take them as like a guaranteed formula that if I do exactly what that guy did, then I'm going to get this exact same result. Because there's all kinds of specifics that are happening here that we might not have in our own lives. But these stories are here for our improvement, to help us to see how God works within humanity and the kind of ways that he expects us to behave. And so far as we're trying to get our purposes, would you like to be a better husband? Any wives, would you like your husband to be a better husband? Would you like to be a better parent, better child, better servant of Christ, better employee, all of those things? Would you like to be that? Well, there's work that we have to do. It just doesn't happen. People don't become significant just because they wanted to. There's work that has to be done, and we've been through a lot of the training for this in Nehemiah. If you've missed those, they're on all of our platforms, but we need to be backed by prayer. We need to be people who are praying people, and we pray and then we work, and we pray and then we work. We have to be people who know how to deal with the mind games. When the enemy comes and tries to trick us, we have to know how to deal with that. We have to know how to get the work done. And we also need to know how to get people to help us. Don't you really wish people would help you sometimes? We have to know how to do that because people don't just help us. We have to do it the right way. And then now we have to figure out how to, because the enemy, he just wants you to stop building that wall. Now, I know that here specifically it's the wall around the city. But for us, I want you to think about what is the purpose that God has called you to do, general or specific, and that's your wall that you're building. And all the enemy wants you to do is stop building the wall. And if he can't discourage you and talk you out of doing the work, then the next best thing is to bring all kinds of problems and interruptions to get you to stop building that wall. And when those things surface, are we going to let those things keep us from building the wall? Or are we going to begin to learn how to keep these distractions from keeping us from fulfilling the purpose that God has for us? Are you ready to live out God's purposes for your life? Then we need to know how to deal with these distractions, and we do that by following these following steps that we see happen with Nehemiah and the Israelites. In verse 9, I feel like I keep beating a dead horse here, but did you notice that they just keep praying, right? Whenever something confusing shows up, they pray. An issue comes up, they pray. A problem shows up, they pray. That seems to be their first go-to. Nehemiah was like that. Ezra was like that. Jesus was like that. Anywhere you go in the Bible following people of significance, they were people who prayed. But did you notice that it says, and we prayed, and then we set our guard. We prayed, and then we did something. You might also notice that towards the end of this chapter, they said that our God, didn't we say that the battle belongs to the Lord? Didn't we sing that a moment ago? Okay. And they did kind of the same thing in this chapter. They said, the Lord will fight for us. And then you know what they did after that? They stepped back and they waited for God to take care of everything. No, they got all their weapons together and they got ready for a fight. And the reason is because I don't know where this misconception began to surface within the history of the church about prayer, where we got this idea that we pray and ask God to take care of it and we step back and just watch him take care of it. We don't do anything. That's not actually how God anticipates us to work with him. God anticipates for us to be praying, not for him to just take care of everything for us and we don't have to do anything. But God expects us to ask him to be praying so that he will empower us, strengthen us, give us wisdom, guidance, and direction, so that he will give us favor with others and the provisions that we need to do the work that he has for us, and then to start building the wall. Okay? So we have to pray and work, pray and work, pray and work. You see that they, I'm going to go a little out of order here, but the fifth item on there, return to work, you see that they keep having these distractions come, and then it says, and then they return to the work. This issue happened, and then they got back to the work. And here's the thing, the enemy will show up, and he'll use anything he can, bad or good, to get you to stop building that wall, even your prayer life. Astounding to think that God, that the enemy could take your prayer life and use it as a distraction. Because I'm going to spend all my time praying and praying and seeking the Lord. And if I'm always here in my prayer closet away from everybody, when can I ever influence somebody? When can I ever witness or make a disciple? When can I ever love on the people in my life if I'm always over here? But I have to be over here, don't I? I have to spend time, but we tend to be obsessive, right? When we open this phone, we don't just spend 2 minutes on it. We video after video after video, and before we know it, we go, whoa, it's been an hour already. How'd that happen? Or I'm just going to watch a few minutes of TV. That's all. I'm just going to watch a few minutes of this game. That's it. And before we know it, we've watched the whole thing. And not that there's anything wrong with watching the whole thing, but we just tend to be addictive. You know, we get the ice cream out. I'm just going to have one scoop of this ice cream. That was pretty good. I'm going to have another scoop. And we just keep getting more because our flesh tends to be obsessive with whatever is in front of us, whether it's good or bad. And so we pray, and it's great. It's awesome to be in God's presence. It feels great to be in God's presence. It feels safe in here. It's not safe out there. It's safe in here. I feel good in here. So I'm just going to stay in here, mind my own business. And yet we don't realize that we think that we're being strong because we're praying, but we're actually failing to build the wall or do the things that God has called us to do in our lives because we're focused on that only. When Jesus slipped away to pray, what did he do when he was done? stepped back out of that time of prayer and began to minister and serve and speak and do the things. How many of us are hiding in our homes, not doing the things that God has called not in? We're wondering why we're not influencing anybody, because we're not touching anybody's life. We're not interacting with people. And oddly enough, the enemy used prayer to distract us from the things that God has called us to do. We have to keep praying, then getting back to do the work. And then another issue that surfaces that we need to know how to do is how to problem solve. Anybody struggle with solving problems? I love solving problems, so if you need help, come to me. Just do everything I say, and we'll solve all your problems. I mean that somewhat sarcastically. It depends. But we need to know how to solve problems, because they happen, don't they? Right? Marital problems, parenting, household problems, problems with the house that you own, your car. Anybody have cars that just give you problems? Right? And problems, okay? Bodies that give us problems, it's just problems. That's what life is like. It's problems. You just have them. And we have to know how to address those problems. And Nehemiah had problems and he addressed them. So there was a threat that people were going to come and attack them, right? And stop them from building the wall. They might even kill them, right? It's the intention that was stated was that we wanted to kill them to stop them from building the wall. And so you have this threat that's out there and you could just ignore it, or you could do what Nehemiah did. Let's get ready for a fight. They got their guard ready and they were ready to deal with the problem. And then you had this scenario where some of the groups of people, because it was a huge wall surrounding the whole city, and you got different pockets where the people started saying, hey, we're losing our strength. We're not able to do this. And so he said, all right, let's send people over there to help them. Or he looked at this massive wall and they thought, we can't cover the whole wall. These enemies are going to try to get in. We can't cover the whole wall. How do we handle this? So he got a strategy together and he said, all right, we're going to have watchmen step back and observe large portions of the wall, and we're going to have these trumpeters. And we're going to, when we see some threat come, we're going to send the trumpeter out, blow the trumpet, and everybody rushes to the sound of the trumpet, and we get a strategy going, and we're solving the problems. But here's the thing. Doesn't it feel good when you solve the problem? You ever solve a problem? You got fixed, you're like, ah, great, that problem's finally resolved. Feels awesome. And that is great, and we need to do that. But then you know what happens sometimes? We forget why we solved the problem to begin with. We were over here building the wall, and then this problem showed up and drew us away from the wall, and we were over here and resolved the problem. And then we feel great about resolving the problem, and we don't go back to the wall because we just feel satisfied with solving the problem. And this is the trickiness of the enemy. He gets us to go face the problem and think that, okay, I'm good. I solved the problem. Everything's good. And he gets us distracted from the kind of husband, wife I need to be, parent I need to be, the kind of follower of Christ I need to be, employee I need to be, member of the church that I need to be, because I'm so focused on solving the problems. And this is what happens a lot in many other churches. This church doesn't have any problems, but other churches, is that they get so focused on solving political problems, moral problems, and they go out there chasing solving all of those things, and you know what they stop doing? Advancing the kingdom. They stop evangelizing, stop making disciples because they got to solve problems of the world today. And the enemy's got them dealing with maybe. How many problems are you resolving, right? Did from building the wall. How many problems are you resolving right now? Focus so much time on resolving those problems and you're not building the wall. We got to deal with them, but we got to deal with them and then what? Get back to work. Have you ever been around people that you think, boy, we'd get this long and done a lot faster if they'd keep working? You know, but they have to keep taking a bathroom break, and they have to keep taking a rest break, and they have to keep checking their phone, and they have to keep doing it, and it's just get back to work. Do you ever feel like saying that to somebody when you're working with other people? Just get back to work, all right? We'll get it done if you get back to work. That's the call for us this morning. Get back to work. Get back to the things that matter. So we got a problem solved. The third step I need to take is I need to join a team. Nehemiah wasn't building the wall by himself. Did you notice that? He wasn't building it alone. He had other people, a lot of other people working with him. And he, because of that, received a number of positive benefits from being a part of the group. We have, again, 10 and 13, when the strength of one group was failing, they had people available to come and help them when they weren't strong anymore. We have the that whole strategy to deal with the weakness of the wall, and they could make those movements because they had people alongside of them. Some of you are struggling, you're discouraged, you're depressed, you're anxious, you don't have ideas, you can't figure things out because you're facing the things that you're facing all alone. And God didn't mean for us to face these things alone. And we're losing out on all the resources that God had. For example, on Wednesday nights when we come together to help each other grow and support each other and break out into those groups, we do that so that we have people around us helping to support us. And some of us are failing to accomplish the purposes that God has for us because we're not taking up the offer of support by being a part of a group. By also having a shared workload, verse 15, each went to his own work. You know what the cool thing is about sharing a workload? There's a lot of stuff that needs to be done, isn't there? A lot of stuff. Do you ever look at your house and think there's a lot of stuff that needs to be cleaned? You do that? Okay, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be taken care of. And it's easier if we have people that this person can take care of that task, and this person can take care of that task, and this person can take care of this, and I'll take care of this. And you know what the beauty is of that? The beauty is I don't have to do all of it. I do part of it. I don't have to do all the work, but I get the benefit of all the work being taken care of. That's the power of being in the group. That's why some of you think that pastor's just trying to get out of work when he asked me to do something for the church. When he asked me to do this assignment, that the pastor's just trying to get out of work. Did you know I'm not trying to get out of work? You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to help us get more work accomplished. Because if all of us are contributing, we get to be the beneficiaries of not having to do all the work, but getting the benefits of all the work being taken care of. Wouldn't you like to have that? You can't have that if we go it alone. We have to be a part of a group to receive that. Also, verse 14, they were called then to fight for your brothers and sons and daughters and wives and for your homes. They were called to come together and fight for one another. And you know what the amazing thing is when we come together to be a part of a group, and we might be primarily doing that initially at least because we have a need and we want the group to help meet our need. But you know what we begin to discover? As we're in there, we begin to discover a lot of people around us are needy. Did you ever notice that? All of us. Anybody care to admit you're needy? I'll raise my hand first. You care to admit you're needy? Anybody care? I'm needy. I have a lot of needs, right? I need a lot of things. I need things, okay? And sometimes we think we're the only one that has needs, okay? But when you start getting into a group or you start getting connected with other people and you start to find they have problems too. They have needs too. And you know what starts to happen if you have a right heart before the Lord is you start to realize they have needs and I can meet some of those needs. And I can start helping and serving the things that they have need of, and I can start helping. And all of us keep saying, you know, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what it is that God has specifically called me to do. And you know why we don't discover that? Because we're not with people enough to see what the needs are and see the needs that are drawing our attention. And if we're a part of a group, then we all of a sudden begin to discover our purposes, and we begin to do them and fulfill them, which I'm telling you, there's nothing greater in the world than fulfilling the purpose that God has for you. Knowing that you did what God wanted you to do. You accomplished it. And knowing that the Lord's looking down on you with pleasure because she is a faithful servant and did what. It's better than getting your own needs met. It is so. What does the Bible say? It's better to give than to receive. Okay. It is so much better to fulfill purpose. And you know, deep down in our hearts, all our struggles to try to be significant and matter is all connected to that. We have a purpose to fulfill, and oh, how great it would be, but we have to join a group. But even joining a group, the enemy could come along and use that as a distraction. Because before we know it, we're over here and we're just enjoying this fellowship. This fellowship feels great. I have camaraderie. I'm getting encouragement. I'm fulfilling a purpose. This feels great. This feels wonderful. I don't ever need to step outside of this group. And you know what? That Ethiopian eunuch would have never got saved if Philip didn't walk away from this amazing revival that was taking place and go not be obsessive and be so. And we need to be in the group, But we need to not be obsessive and be so into the group that we never get outside of the body of Christ and start reaching the people that are outside. Or spending so much time with my friends that I don't need to spend time with these other people, and we get distracted with good things. That enemy, he's tricky. He will use anything, even the good things. Go ahead and keep praying. Just don't build that wall, right? Go ahead and keep solving all those problems and fixing things. That's wonderful. Just don't build that wall. Go ahead and fellowship and hang out with friends. That's good. Just keep doing it. Stay close to them. Just don't build that wall. What is it that the enemy is keeping you from because of bad things and good things? Then we need to address our fears. Anybody ever anxious? I've had people tell me that they don't struggle with anxiety or fear, but they're stressed all the time. I got news for you. It's in the same family. We're stressed. And why are we stressed? Because we're worried that something won't happen or something will. That's what we're stressed about. We're stressed that we won't do what we need to do and take care of that thing. We're stressed because we're worried that it won't happen, and we're worried. And we live in a world that loves to make us feel worried, right? All you got to do is turn on or read the news, and you will find a group of people that just loves to sell you worry. Here's all the things that, look, the world's falling apart, guys. Everything's getting bad. If you go anywhere in public, you're going to get shot, right? Don't you feel like that sometimes when you watch the news? You go anywhere in public, you're going to get shot. Because it's just dangerous out there, and everybody's out to get you, and everybody's going to steal your stuff, and everybody's going to attack you, and then nobody can be trustworthy. And there are bad people out there, right? And there are bad things that are happening out there. But we don't need to be afraid of that, do we? We need to be responsible and take care of different things, but we don't need to fear. That's something that's mentioned throughout. And I think someone said that last week. I think someone mentioned that how often the Bible says, do not fear. And even here, Nehemiah says in verse 14, do not be afraid. How do I do that? You know, how do I resolve my anxiety and fear? Well, two ways. First, we focus on the Lord. He says in that context, verse 14, remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Or verse 20, our God will fight for us. Didn't we sing earlier, the battle belongs to the Lord? That doesn't mean I'm not responsible and I don't need to do the things that I need to take care of. But when I do them, I know that with God, all things are possible. And God gives me the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And so I can do this because he can do this. I can figure out this problem. I can gain the wisdom I need, not because I'm special, but because the Holy Spirit is in me and he can enable me to do that. And the more that we spend time in reflecting on who he is and spending time in his presence, the more we begin to see that fear just kind of goes away when we're in that intimate, close, I hear his voice and sense his leading place. Anybody ever be in that space before where you just the Holy Spirit just showed up? Because you were seeking him and not afraid of this. The enemy hates that. But here's the thing, though. You can't just address it by focusing on the Lord. We also, verse 14, that whole idea. And again, 14, this fight for your brothers and sons and daughters and wives and homes. He says that right in the midst of saying why you shouldn't be afraid. Remember the Lord and fight for one another. If you have ever been in your home by yourself in the middle of the night and you heard a noise outside, you're a little nervous, don't you? But if that happens and there's two or three other people in the house with you, even if they're little children, I found that that's a weird dynamic because what is this three-year-old going to be able to do if some burglar is going to come in the house? But for some reason, if I know somebody else is in the house with me, I don't feel as scared. Or if that noise happens in the midst of you having 20 people over at your house to hang out with you, and by the way, it just so happens that they're all tough men that have quite a bit of muscle, like Andrew over there has these big 24-inch python type scenarios, and you know I got these big guys around me, or I have some guys that I won't name any names that carry weapons with them, and so they're prepared to fight. They got military background, and I got these 20 guys around me, and I hear a noise. Bring it on. I got these guys. I'm not worried. They got my back. And we're not as afraid. Why? Because we're with other people. I'm always amazed at people when they struggle with depression and they go into isolation. And they remove themselves from the very thing that would give them the ability to not have that depression and fear and anxiety. because we just feel better when with other people. But people are annoying. People are difficult. And they have flaws. Yes, they do. But they have their upsides too. And we need to, if we want to not be anxious, you need to have someone that you can be vulnerable with, that you can share your struggles with, that you can talk things through with. And I'm telling you, have you ever had that moment that you went over and you talked to someone and they were receptive and supportive and you poured your heart out to them and they were just encouraging? You walked away just feeling different. Have you ever had that? Okay. God created that for us. But we rob ourselves of that when we decide not to connect with others. And we need to address this fear, because fear is crippling. Fear is the reason why you're not trying to do something, do a different tactic in your marriage. Fear is the reason why you're not trying to do a different tactic as a parent to try to get things resolved. Fear is the reason why you're not making that financial endeavor, because what if everything falls apart and I lose everything? Fear is the reason why you're not trying to get that job that you really want to get. Fear is the reason why you're not sharing your faith with that person that works across the desk from you. Fear is the reason why you're not going to try to pray for someone to be healed, because what if they don't get healed? Fear is the reason why we don't serve and minister to others, because I don't know if I'm capable of doing this. Fear is crippling, and it's keeping us from building that wall. Don't let the enemy trick you out of doing the thing that you're very capable of doing. Wouldn't you love to be on the other way of accomplishing building that wall? Then we need to know how to deal with different things. But once you've dealt with the fear, again, the enemy, he's fine with you not being afraid anymore. You know, you get in that spot where, I don't feel afraid anymore. This feels great. I'm going to celebrate. What was I supposed to be doing, by the way? And then he's like, you can stay confident. Be confident all you want. Be encouraged all you want. Be fearless all you want. Just don't get back to that wall. And he distracts us with every time the problem comes up, we resolve the problem. Every time an issue comes up, we resolve the issue. His goal is to get us to just be satisfied with that and not get back to building that wall. It's time to get back to work, my friends. We as a church in general have been distracted by too many other things. It's time to get back to work. However, there are times that there are things that show up that do legitimately keep us from doing certain things, right? So like if you have hernia surgery, you can't help move things, can you, right? You can't do that. And so we have to learn how to make certain modifications, because some of us are all or nothing. Anybody an all or nothing kind of thing? Either it's going to be perfect or I'm not doing it, all right? Either everybody's going to be happy with this whole thing or we're not going to do it, all right? Because it just needs to be perfect. It's all or nothing, okay? And we do that sometimes with our purposes in life. Either I'm going to fulfill it to the nth degree and I'm going to do all of it, or I'm not going to do any of it. And some of that is really selfish on our part. We just want everything to be going easy for us, and we don't want to deal with challenges, right? Or we want all the glory for ourselves to accomplish it all on our own without any help. I've had people at other churches tell me this. Nobody here has told me this. I've had people tell me, I don't want anybody to help because I want to know that I was able to do this on my own. Why? Why? Don't you just want it to happen? Why do you need to just, I just need to make sure that I knew I could do it all on my own. Sometimes we can't. And if we're not able to make modifications when those things surface, then we're not going to get the purpose accomplished. Amen, Melissa. Thank you. What modifications do we need to make? Well, first, in verse 16, half of them were working on the construction and half of them held spears. I want you to think about this for a second. I take out half my workforce to just stand there with a weapon. Half of them. We can build this wall in half the time if they were all taking care of it. But if we didn't do that, that army was going to come over and they were going to attack us. And you know what's kind of interesting? The attack never happens. Did you know that? The attack never happens, but it might be part because they were ready for it. But they had to make sure that somebody was ready to deal with that problem. And so sometimes there are scenarios where this thing needs to be taken care of, but you can't take care of it. No, you're the one, or there's two things. You ever have two problems going on at one time? My two girls, when they were younger, they had this strategy, okay? We have a two-floor house, and they have this strategy. One would go in one corner of the house and start creating a disruption, some kind of crazy chaos. And you know what would happen? The other would wait until we were taking care of that chaos, and they would say, all right, coast is clear. They run to the other corner of the house and start sowing chaos because they knew if they got us separated, they'd win the day. And some of you are single parents, and you don't have the luxury of having a tag team partner to jump in there and help deal with that when that takes place. Or sometimes your tag team partner is not there. But it's so much easier when there's two problems happening at the same time and we got two people to take care of it. And sometimes we need to, we can't do that because we don't have the relationships to be able to ask people to help. But sometimes we got two, three problems going on in our lives and we cannot address all of them by ourselves. But if we learn to ask someone, hey, can you just come over and take care of that while I take care of this? All of a sudden we have the benefit of it all. Don't you want it all to be taken care of? But we have to use this teamwork and we have to assign tasks. And sometimes that means we need to ask somebody to do something. And some of us are afraid to ask somebody to do something for us. Missing out. You can keep sitting back there and not accomplishing your purpose for your life and not seeing those things happen. Or we can humble ourselves and decide to start asking for help. We need to assign tasks. Verse 17, each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other. Now we get a scenario where it's, and I don't know what happens right away, because initially, can you imagine trying here? Now everybody is getting ready to fight and working with, can you imagine trying to cook baked lasagna with one hand, Carol? Could you imagine that? You just, I just got to, you know, keep this hand behind my back and I need to take care. Flipping the pizzas and making pizzas with just one hand behind. I mean, I could do it. It's just not going to be as easy. Why am I restraining myself that way? Because sometimes we can't do it all, can we? Sometimes we can't go full out, and sometimes we don't have anybody to help us. And so we have to just say, you know what? I'm going to be a little restrained, but I'm going to be part of it. So, and is Mary Ross here? Did she come back this week? I don't think so. Mary Ross, you don't know her yet. She was new last week. We reached her through Facebook, and she was trying to get here, and guess what? She was trying to come to church, and all kinds of problems kept surfacing, keeping her from getting here. And there was various points where she thought, I should just turn back and go home. Then she said, no, you know what? I should just get there for whatever part I get there. And you know what she got here for? Amen. See you next week. The very end. But she was okay with that she at least got there for part of it. And some of you have chosen to not participate in different things because you couldn't participate in the whole thing. And guess what? If you have health issues that it just takes you 3 hours to get ready, and I know that there's a number of you that it takes you 3 hours to get your body moving, and you don't get here at 10, I know that I joke about the second service and everything. But get here when you can get here. Okay? It's ideal for you to be here for the whole service. It's ideal for you to be here every week. But if you're not capable, if you're being honest, you know, sometimes we act like we're not capable, but we're fully capable. No, I didn't mean to look right at you, Kadian. some of us act like that. But if we legitimately have reasons why we can't participate all the time, then don't say all or nothing. Do what we can. So don't say, well, I wasn't able to go to the Wednesday night thing the very first week, so I'm never going again. Okay? Don't say that, well, I can't come every week, but I can only come every other. Then don't say, well, I won't come at all. Come, participate, be involved. Just because you can't do something that's up front and in front of everybody doesn't mean you can't do a thing. Find a thing. I'm amazed. Where is Joyce? Oh, she's making food, speaking of. Joyce is, and she doesn't mind me saying this, Joyce is 84. She doesn't mind me saying her age, but she does mind me talking about her. Joyce is 84 and drives about 45 minutes to an hour one way to this church. 84 years old. And at our board meeting, because she serves on the board, she oversees the connection groups, and she cooks a lot of food, and she cleans up things, and she has an 84-year-old body. And at the board meeting, she was just saying, you know what? I just want to make sure that if I still have breath in me, that I'm making sure I'm doing the things that God has called me to do. 84 years old. And here some of us are in our 40s, and you got knee issues and back aches, and now we can't do anything anymore. Okay? And that doesn't mean that we don't accommodate, right? And we say, well, I can't pick up heavy things, but I can't bend over, but I'm not a very smart communicator, but I can do this or I can do that. And we have to learn how to hold our spear with one hand and work with the other. Then, verse 23, it was a peculiar statement if you don't know what's taking place. Did you notice it said in verse 23, none of us took off our clothes? If I heard someone say that, I'd think, well, I'm glad that none of you took off your clothes. I don't know, what, we got a nudist colony going on here? I don't know, I don't want to see that. What's he talking about, none of us took off our clothes? You know, in Pittsburgh, we have the cellar basements, and we have the doors that go into the basements, depending on the ages of the house, and we have the old shower in the basement. You know why those were there? Because there were the laborers that went out into the coal mines and the steel factories. When they came back, they were covered in filth. So they would peel all that stuff off of them and shower in the basement before they touched the nice parts of the house so that they were all clean. They took off their clothes. And here these guys are working all day building this wall, and they're filthy. They're stinky. I mean, this burnt rubble that they're working through to build this wall, and they could rest peacefully. Anybody ever try to rest when you're stinky? You know, ever been covered with sweat before, and you're like, oh my God, I need to take a shower. How am I going to do this, right? And we do that because we want to be comfortable, right? And so here these guys are, they have a problem, and that is that they're a mess, and they would like to be comfortable, but they had a problem out there, they had a threat, and they had a reason why they couldn't accommodate the comfort that they wanted. And while sometimes our personal needs make it to where we need to make accommodations, and we can't go all in, but we can just do part, there's other times that we need to be willing to sacrifice our own personal needs. There's times that we have to say, you know what, I'm tired, but I'm still going. I love when there's some of them, like Jackie, who works all night and then says, I'm tired, but I'm still going to church. Did you know that? Jackie will work all night Saturday and Sunday, and she'll still come. Tired. And she's falling asleep. That's why I always walk closer to her when that happens. But she doesn't let tired stop her all the time. Sometimes we're tired, and we need to rest, and we need to make place for that. But other times we need to say, you know what? I'm tired. Because I have to do that with my kids sometimes. Parents, have you ever had to do that with your kids sometimes? They want to play, right? And the way kids, DJ always, he drives me crazy because I think, you want to just like sit and play a video game? How about we just throw a ball back? Tag, I'm so tired. I want to play tag. How about we just throw a ball back and forth? No, I want to play tag. And when he plays tag, he gets mad if I try to just like, I try to like play smart, use less energy and try to like maneuver to get him. He's like, you need to chase after me. Because he wants us to play, and I could just say, you know what, I'm tired. But sometimes I have to push past the tired and do it. There's times where your back hurts and you can't do things legitimately because your back hurts. But there's times that your back hurts and you do it anyway. The amount of times, I don't know if you guys have noticed, initially with my surgery when I came back, I used to walk up these steps like this with confidence. And I don't know if you paid attention, but there were times where I was walking up like this. Oh, goodness. Hope I'm not going to fall over. And I'm like walking gingerly. But I still walked up here to this podium, even when I was hurting and in pain. And there are some of you, you have arthritis, you have joint problems, you have emotional issues, and we can let those things keep us out of the game and keep us from building the wall, or we can choose to say, you know what, sometimes I'm just going to push through the pain. Sometimes I'm going to push through the exhaustion. Sometimes I'm going to do the stuff even though it's difficult to do it. I'm going to push through the confusion. I'm going to push past the, I don't have enough to do this. Because the reason why that wall is not being built is because there's not enough people today in and out of the church willing to say, I'm going to get past all these distractions. I'm going to stay determined. And no matter what gets in the way, that wall is going to go up one way or another. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? What is your wall? What is the wall that you're trying to build or God's trying to build through you? Is it a more mature faith? Is it being the kind of follower of Jesus that you know he's calling you to be? What is your wall? Is it a healthy, thriving marriage, even if you're single and you want to pursue that? Is it a healthy, thriving household? Is it finances that are stable? Is it your job and your career? Is it some ministry? What is it that is the wall for you? And what's standing in the way of you building that wall this morning? What's in the way? And are you willing, as they begin to play for us, are you willing to come down to these altars, repent if need be, ask for help if need be, seek the strength of the Lord, but you're willing to set aside those problems. What is it for you? Is it that you're too spiritual to do the things that you're supposed to do? What is it? Is it that you just can't? I know we skipped over one item there, and that is the always being ready. There's some of you that you think that you rely on that verse that says that when you are before others, the Holy Spirit will give you the words that you ought to speak. Not thinking that there's also another verse that says to be prepared in season and out of season. And getting prepared for things when nothing necessarily happens, that's a pain. Feels like a waste of time. But some of you, you just don't want to go through the work of the process of getting prepared when you're seeing nothing happening. And you need the stamina that the Lord provides. Then come and seek Him now. He wants to give you the stamina to stay prepared. Or some of you, you got all kinds of problems. You know, you're good at listing all the problems, but you can't list all the ways why you're going to be victorious. And you need to come down to these altars and lay those problems here, not because they won't stay, not because you won't still have them to deal with, but because you're not going to let them be a distraction anymore. Don't you want to build that wall in your life? What is it that's keeping you from it? Is it your anxiety and your fear that's crippling you? What is it that's keeping you from this? Is it because you don't know how to problem solve? You don't know how to accommodate? Because you can't do the things you want to do, and so I'm not going to do the things that I'm able to do? What is it? God wants to build that wall in your life today. He wants to. If we're only willing to surrender, and what comforts are standing in the way that we need to be able to say, I'm okay with not being comfortable anymore, if that's what it takes to build this wall? Great marriages aren't built without sacrifice. Great households aren't built without sacrifice. Great churches and communities aren't built without sacrifice. As the worship team leads us, let's get back to work, my friends. He wants to help us. Come and seek Him. When I came here almost 6 years ago, there was low morale and there was a lot of struggling and low people, not as many people. And God started doing something. And it's not me, that's the people decided to get interested again in the kingdom. And He started to build something. And then, though I'm not one to think that the enemy brings every disaster that surfaces, I do think that even if he doesn't originate it, he takes advantage when they come. And 2.5 years ago, we had a pandemic sweep throughout the whole world, and we had some distractions and some problems, and the enemy stirred up some other things that happened, and then we made some changes that some people liked and some people didn't, and we had different things that surfaced, and the Lord's beginning to rebuild again. I don't know if you notice new faces coming in and out and different things getting organized and taken care of. And it's a work in progress, but it's happening. And He's building it back up again, His church. And it's a flawed church. There's problems in it. And, you know, we can see the problems and nitpick and walk away because there's a flaw, because something's not the way I like it or think that it should be. And as I was praying about that over there, the Lord drew my attention to the wall that they were building. Did you know that they were building the wall out of rubble and out of a broken and flawed wall? Did you notice that? And we here stand in the midst of a fellowship that's flawed, in a church that's flawed and has its issues. And we can decide that we're not going to participate in constructing this thing that we're working together to build because there's flaws. Or we can decide to step in and see a great thing happen. The Lord wants to build His church, but He wants to do it through you. He wants us to pick up our spear. He wants us to begin to construct, even to work with things that aren't exactly the way we'd like them to be. Oh, what a sad state that our country, our society is in today, That I'm only going to make this marriage great as long as the other person doesn't have issues that they bring to the table. I'm only going to have a healthy, thriving household as long as my kids aren't a problem. Nobody builds anything great like that. The Lord wants us to build something great. Don't you want to be a part of that? So then we need to participate. We need to jump in. And I'm telling you, at the other end of that, you would much rather be able to look back and say, I had a part in that, than to say that you were just a spectator watching it take place. God is building something. But we have to choose whether or not we're going to be the builders. We can't just pray it into existence. We have to pray and get back to work. So some of us have people that we've been building relationships with. We need to start witnessing again. We need to get back to work. Some of you have been online with us, and some of you have legit reasons. Others of you, it's time to get back into the building, to get back to work. Some of you got out of various ministry things for various reasons, but it might be time to get back to work. God wants us to build a great work, don't you? Don't you? And so thank you so much for being here. Next week, we're going to talk about how to figure out what the important things are. Because sometimes we get back to work and we get, anybody like me, you're intensely focused. Like when you start focusing and doing, you don't even notice anything else is around you. All right? Sometimes we have to make sure that we're not getting lost in the work and we're making sure we're doing the important thing. Because next week, Nehemiah, they get the wall built and they realize there's something even more important than that wall. So Lord, I ask that you would help us to have the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and of the Word of God. And I ask that you would help us to be merciful and gracious towards one another when we fail each other and exhibit our flaws. And that you would help to unite us together as one body, not just to be emotionally supportive, but for all of us to become laborers in the field. Lord, you told the disciples to look, the harvest is ripe, it's ready, but the laborers are few. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us to begin to build the work that you've called us to build. Because you have a great thing to accomplish among us. And we ask that you would help us to do it. Thank you, Lord, for your work among us. Have your way today, throughout this week. Be at work, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys. God bless you. See you Wednesday.